God wants us to be together with Him forever. He wants us to walk in His blessing. The character of God is this, that God is not fair, but He is just.
Thanks for joining us for the LifePoint podcast. Today we are in week two of our three-week series, In the Zone. With the message, First and Ten, here is Pastor Kelly Rhodes.
All right. Well, guys, we are excited. I'm excited to kick off our second week of the series called In the Zone. In the Zone Living is talking about, it's a series about living in the zone of God's blessability. It's talking about living our lives in that place where God can pour His blessings out on us as we believe God wants to, and it's an important place to be. We're talking about today. We're going to talk about a lot of the biblical understanding of where that comes in for finances. But I mean, we're people who are just absolutely just obsessed with being first, right? We're concerned with, when we watch the Olympics, we want to see who won the gold medal, right? Because and not just who won the gold medal, but did we get more gold medals than anybody else? I mean, anybody else watch the Olympics and that's what you're really concerned with? That's me. Well, we're concerned about who was the first to fly, who was the first to discover this country. We are obsessed with the first. We want to be the first. We want to be associated with the first. There were three little boys at the playground once, one recess, and the first one said, you know what? They were kind of doing what little boys do. They brag on their dads every once in a while, you know. And the first little boy said, you know what? My dad is so smart and he is so talented. He scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a poem. And people give him $50. And the other kids go, that's pretty good. But second one said, my dad is so smart. He's so talented. He's so brilliant that he'll scribble a few pieces of word on a piece of paper and call it a song. And people give him $100 bill. And the third kid was my boy. He goes, my dad's so smart, he'll scribble a few words on a piece of paper, call it a sermon. It takes eight people to collect all the money. That's we want to be first, right? In fact, we want to be first so bad we even have this saying about second place, right? Second place is the first loser. Or second place is like kissing your. And if you're from Arkansas, that's not necessarily a consolation. I'm sorry, Arkansas. I love your fishing. Anyway, we are fascinated, consumed, driven to pursue the first, right? We want to have the first. We want to be the first. And I think it's kind of hardwired into us a little bit. You see, God made us in His image. So we are, in effect, fashioned for the first. God created everything, and then He made us, and he kind of placed us in charge. We're going to look at this in just a second. But he made us for the first. He wants us to pursue the first. It's in us. God is a God of firsts. And I think this is an important thing that we understand about who He is. I mean, every sermon should tell us something about the character and nature of God. And the character and nature of God is absolutely that He's first. He's a God up first. In fact, God is either first or He is last. He's either first place in your life or He's not God at all in your life. I mean, this is an important thing we understand. In fact, I love how Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. Paul, this apostle, this leader in the early church, great theologian, he's trying to explain things to these new believing, these baby Christians. And this is what he says to this church in Colossae about this very thing. He says this, and He is the head. Someone say head? Head of the body. That's pretty much the first, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. Then everything, He might be preeminent. Say preeminent. That He might be preeminent. This Greek word, proteo, talks about this. This is where we get this word preeminent. And that Greek word proteo means to be first in rank or influence. It comes from another Greek word protos. That means to be the foremost in time, order of, or order of importance. It's where we get the English word prototype that says that it's to be the first of a type or a model of something. It's the whole idea of Him being first, taking first, pursuing first, that God must be first. Jesus must be first in our lives. It's spelled out all through Scripture. In fact, keeping God first is the central idea of what it means to be in the zone. If you want to talk about being in the zone, in this place of God's blessability, this place where we're keeping God first in the middle of the issue. Keeping God first is how we stay there. It's not being on the outside of God's blessing. Some of us are content to kind of live on the outside or the edge of God's blessing and enjoying God's blessing kind of by being next to someone who's got it. Some of us live out here in the zone. And so we kind of look at the zone. We think, maybe that's a life I'm interested in. And some of us, we're down here off Elman Commercial, kind of wondering where we're going at all, right? We're not in the zone, but maybe the zone's somewhere we want to be. But I want to tell you right now, God wants to bless our lives. And that's what this series is about. It's about being blessed in. So here's the question. Is the Lord first in your life? Is the Lord first in my life? It's a question that I need to continue to ask myself day after day. Hey, Christians, if you've been a Christian for a while, maybe that's an important question that you ask yourself today. Is he really first, or have I just been doing this thing so long that this is what I do, and I don't think about it anymore? Because through that complacency, we can find ourselves slipping. We can find ourselves becoming overconfident and falling. And so our first can shift. God must be first. The ultimate question is, are you zoned in or are you zoned out? Is God first in your life? Finding favor in the first is what places us right here in the zone. It's what places us where God wants us to be. And it has always been this way. In fact, we're going to take a big look at this because, again, being first is hardwired into our system. So we're going to look at the first folks. That's Adam and Eve. Now, we go back to this a lot, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1 and hold on to this. But from the very beginning, we see that God created this earth, this beautiful and amazing, this wonderful place. If you haven't got out to enjoy the beautiful February weather, I mean, it's been amazing, right? It's been awesome. It's been awesome to see the sun shining and for things to be so warm. You can see and experience the power of God expressed in nature. We can see who God is, right? We can see how awesome God is. God created this earth, and it was this amazing, amazing place. And at the end, he creates Adam and Eve, and he gives them this command. He says this. He says, God bless them. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along grounds. These are simple commands. I mean, a lot of times we think that the first command God gave us was the one we're going to look at in a minute, but it wasn't. It was this command of a blessing. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Praise God, he gave it. That's the one we all get right, right? I mean, hey, be fruitful and multiply. Enjoy each other. And the product of that enjoyment, the product of that love is going to be this wonderful and beautiful thing called children, right? In fact, since he's walking in, Steve and Julie, 33 years. Let's give them a round of applause. They're celebrating 33 years of marriage. Uh-oh. You better. But God gave them this wonderful blessing in each other. God gave Adam and Eve this wonderful blessing in each other. Be fruitful and multiply. And then he says this, govern. Some of your translations might say subdue the earth, reign over it. And what he is saying there, what this actually speaks to, what this means is he's saying, all right, here's the ground. Everything that you need to live off of, everything that you need to sustain your life is going to come up out of this ground. But you've got to take control. You've got to do what God did to make sure that chaos doesn't ensue. You got to bring order out of this. He means you need to work this ground, govern over it, subdue it, so you can have what you need to live off of it. And it's going to be a bountiful harvest. It's going to be a powerful harvest. And so this blessing was the blessing of their work. God made work to be holy. God made work to be good. That was God's intention. That's part of God's design. The second part of it is that the fruit of our work, the produce of our, what the product of our effort and of our labor would be a good thing that blesses us in every way. And so he gave this wonderful command. He gave this place to live in, and he made it, gave us a call to work. He gave us each other. I mean, God has just poured out blessing after blessing after blessing, and he's kind of given it to Adam and Eve in this perfect place, this perfect world. And he thought, you know what? I want to protect this. And so God gave us the first fencing. Why do you put a fence up around your yard? It's to maybe keep things out of your yard, but really, today, it's probably to keep your kids in. If you live in an unsafe neighborhood or a busy neighborhood, you live close to a busy street, you hope that your fence keeps your kids playing in the backyard where they're supposed to be, not playing in the street where they're not supposed to be, right? And so God saw this great blessing that he had poured out upon Adam and Eve, and he gave them this first boundary, this first prohibition, this first saying, okay, everything else I've told you to do, this is the one thing I'm going to tell you not to do. He says, you may eat freely of every fruit of every tree in the garden. He's like, eat everything you want, anything you want. It's going to be awesome. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you will surely die. I mean, here it is. This is what's going to happen if you pursue this course of action, if you pursue this behavior. Stay away from this tree. And so God very much said, all right, hey, you want to live in my blessing? You want to live in the zone? You can do anything but this. Stay away from this. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't look. Just play over there. Eat what you want. Here's what's so cool about this. There's another tree that's mentioned in the book of Genesis. It's a tree of life. It's the tree of eternal life. If they eat of that tree, they become these beings that have this eternal life. It's just this amazing thing. But God didn't say, don't eat from that. He says, don't eat from this other. Do you know why? Because God's ultimate plan for you and for me is to be with him forever. Amen. God wants us to be together with him forever. He wants us to walk in his blessing. And so he put up a boundary, he put up a fence of protection. And what did we do? We climbed it. Amen. We climbed it. The Bible talks about how Adam and Eve were deceived by a serpent and they ate of that fruit. We climbed the fence. And that brought all kinds of problems. Now here's the deal. That tree was God's tree. It's his to eat of, if he wants to eat of it. It's his to let grow and produce fruit that never gets picked. It's his tree. It was his portion. It wasn't ours. But we partook of what was his. And that was the first failure. Here's the interesting thing about this. Adam and Eve bit into the apple. They had been in the zone in every way. Experienced God's blessing in every way. And then they went to the tree, they contemplated the tree, and they ate of the tree. And in that instant, sin, death, destruction, decay, disease, all these things enter into the world because God's will was violated. Sin was brought into the earth. And here's the interesting thing. We never leave the zone on accident. It takes willful steps. Now, sometimes we kind of convince ourselves that it's accident, but it's really what happened is I just got busy and I just wasn't thinking and something happened and next thing you know, you're way over here, you're far away from the blessing that God wants for you in life, and you're like, I don't know what happened. Well, what happened is that God ceased to be first. Something else came in. And as a result, the curse comes. And that's exactly what happened with Adam and Eve. In fact, look at what it says specifically. After they climbed that fence, after they crossed that line, it says, it's Genesis 3:17, it says, cursed is the ground because of you. Now there's other curses that came, pain in childbirth. That's a pretty serious curse, right, ladies? But cursed is the ground. That thing that I gave you before that was such a blessing that you were to govern and subdue, that thing that was going to grow everything you needed to really thrive and survive and live, that's cursed now, as is everything that grows from it. Because it'll spoil. It'll decay. It's cursed. And the work was cursed too. Have you ever hated the idea of going to work on a Monday morning? It's because of this right here. It's the curse. But God, in his infinite love, saw through our problem, and he gave us promise. Now, it gets more specified, but God created us. Why did he create us? For his pleasure. Revelation 4:11 tells us that God created us for his pleasure, to live in relationship with him. He wanted us to worship him. He created us for his glory. He created the earth for his glory. He put us in it for his glory. And so the way that he saw this and the way that he wanted to fix the solution was to start one-on-one. to start relationally. So if you jump over to Genesis chapter 4, you see this thing happened. Adam and Eve took the very first command seriously. They were fruitful. They multiplied. They had Cain and Abel. And this is what happens. This is what tells us in Genesis 4, chapter 3. It says, in the course of time, if you have your Bibles, just kind of underline that, because there's something powerful that happened in the course of time. It says, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, his brother, also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. Now, we have to look at this whole thing and just ask the question, why did they give anything? Why did they bring anything at all? Did you ever ask that question? Because we don't see it in the first three chapters of Genesis where God said, you need to bring me stuff. God didn't do that. There was not a mountainside that had commands carved in the side. What happened in the course of time? In the course of time, God, who created us for relationship, spoke to their heart. And he says, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to worship me. This is how we're going to find that fix. And look what it says. You see the difference in their gift. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. You see, the world may have fallen, but God has created every human soul, every human heart, and he has written his word on our hearts. He's put something inside us so that we would know what is right, so that we would know what is wrong, so we could be guided back to this place of his blessing, back to the zone. God was speaking to Cain, he was speaking to Abel, and something was going on here. In the course of time, God did this work. And here we see the difference of their hearts expressed. See, God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He says, govern over this, subdue this. He in effect, he said, listen, you are managers, not owners. He taught their hearts how to worship. And then he does this. He gives this command about what to bring and how to bring. Now, this is kind of a side note, but it's kind of important at the same time. There is a powerful difference between bringing your worship and giving. And the difference is the difference between ownership and management. The difference between ownership and management. See, you bring an owner the best of what they already possess because it's theirs. But you give out of what you possess. There's a huge difference. You give what pleases you. You bring an owner what you know is going to please them. Why? Because it's theirs already anyway. It's theirs already anyway. So you give them the best because you want to please your owner. You want to please the boss. You give oftentimes out of what's left over. You bring what they're due. Amen. I mean, have you ever paid rent and you brought your landlord just a portion of the rent that month because it's just what I have? Now, oftentimes they'll work with you because they're gracious. And oftentimes they'll say, you have 12 hours to get your stuff out. Why? Because it's not your place. You can't tell them what you're going to pay and what you're not. Why? Because you're renting that place. But they own it. See, there's that difference. The focus when we give is off. But when we bring faithfully out of our first and out of our best, it places us back in the zone of God's blessing. Management and ownership. We want to be the owners. But freedom and blessing comes to us. We quit fighting the boss. And we manage what he's given us as we should. You don't bring an owner the end of the day rush. You bring him the best quality that you have. You don't buy your wife broken and bruised flowers. You give her the very best that you have available to you. That's what you do. When you went to buy your engagement ring, you bought the best engagement ring you could afford. You didn't keep sliding, you know, quarters in that little claw machine. You know, that's not the way you did that. You gave her the best that you have. It's between ownership and management. The owner deserves the best in the first portion of his provision. That's what makes the story of Cain and Abel for us so clear. Cain, it says, brought some. Abel brought his first and best, the fat portions. But they gave because God compelled them. But here's the question. Why, if God spoke to both of them, why did Cain think God wanted something different than what Abel wanted? It's a great question. Why did they bring something different? Not in kind. It's not the difference between plant and protein. It's why did Abel bring something that made God so happy, but Cain gave something that God refused to bless? What was the difference? Some would say, you know what? I'll bet what happens is that God, he kind of favored Abel, and he gave Abel a different message. See, some of us like to have that little conspiracy theory in us, you know? And so we're going to believe that kind of stuff because it's easier for us to handle. But here's an important aspect of the character of God, okay? The character of God is this, that God is not fair, but he is just. I can tell you without a question, without a doubt, that Cain and Abel received the same message. They received the same message, but they had different obedience attached to it. Now, here's the difference between fair and just, all right? All right, if it's fair, I'm going to have an apple, Pat's going to have an apple. We're both going to have apples. That's fair, right? But that's not the way God works. The way God works is he gives me an apple and he gives Alan an orchard. That's not fair, is it? I got an apple, he's got an orchard, it's not fair. But this is what's just, is that what he requires of Alan, what he requires of me is the same. Amen. What he requires is our first and best. Now, I am so thankful that God is just and not fair. You know why? Because here's what's fair. I was born into this world a sinner, and I have sinned against God. I have rightfully and fairly earned my place apart from him in hell forever. That's fair. But what is just is that God gave his first and his best, Jesus Christ, for my sins, that I might live with him forever. That's just. I'll take just over fair any single day. And I hope you do too. That's what's going on. See, our portions may be different, but God's portion remains the same. God is not fair, but he is just. He still requires our first and our best. And what we can see with Cain here is that Cain didn't get points for trying. It says that the Lord had no regard for Cain and his offering. It means he saw it as something that wasn't blessed. And this was either that through Cain's willful action or his carelessness. Either way, it showed that God was not first in Cain's life. That's not how people act when they want to show love and respect to someone. And in fact, what they do is they find out what pleases that person through observation, through asking friends, through asking them. They find out what pleases them, then they give them that. Now, you might have seen this week. This week was Valentine's Day. Guys, did you do good on Valentine's Day? Ladies, did they do good on Valentine's Day for you? I hope so. But when Valentine's Day came around, if you would have came to the Rhodes house, I'll tell you what you would not have found on the kitchen table. You would not have found flowers and chocolates. No, you wouldn't have. You know why? Because for 20 years, I've been studying Bridget Rhodes, my wife. And I found out that she's not interested in flowers and chocolate. You know what she's interested in? She's interested in a good meal and a clean house. And so I made bacon, chinny, penny, pasta. It was amazing. It was so unhealthy. It was ungodly, but it tasted so good. He blessed it. It was awesome. And I cleaned every dish and we cleaned the house. I made Mr. Clean look like Pig Pen from Charlie Brown, folks. I'm telling you right now. You know why? Yeah. You know why? It's because I want to do what pleases her. She'll eat chocolate. She likes flowers. But she loves a clean home. She loves a night that she doesn't have to cook for the family. I gave her my first and my best. Now, does that mean, men, that you don't buy chocolate and you don't buy flowers? Yes, if that's not, if you don't want that, you don't buy it, right? We pay attention. We give them what they want. We look at what God is saying, and we give him what he wants. And what does God want? Well, he told us in the Ten Commandments, very first, he says this, I am the Lord your God who rescued from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. This is so important. This is so powerful. He saw us in this place of bondage and being tied up, and he says, I pulled you out of that. And he says, you shall have no other God but me. God says, I want to be first in your life, first in your heart. I have done this for you without you even asking me. I came in and I saved you. I rescued you. I made the way. Let me be first and only. Not first in someone beside, not first among many, but let me be first and only. You shall have no other God but me. God said, I have to be first. No one higher, no one beside, no other God but me. If you want to be zoned into the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, he must be first. That's critical. But it doesn't mean it will come without its challenges. That's why he says in 1 Chronicles, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all of the work for the service of the house is finished. We can expect trouble and trial in life, but if we keep God first, his hand will be upon us. His blessing will not leave us. And even as we face difficult situations, trials and tribulations, he is there and he brings us through. And here's what's awesome about that. We have a God who does not seek glory for nothing. We have a God who wants to pour his blessing out upon us in such a powerful fashion because he wants us to praise him, to give him more glory, to give him more honor, to give him more praise. So yesterday was an awesome day for our family. We woke up, we went to the pancake breakfast. I want to say thank you guys for showing up the pancake breakfast. We raised almost $2,000 for camp. Yeah, that's worthy of some applause. But after that, I got to go spend some time watching my little boy, Rhett, play basketball, and Ryan was cheerleading. It was awesome. They both did really, really good. And then Reese and I, we got to run around the antique mall together. We went to an auction. It was just incredible. It was an amazing day. And then the boys and I, we went fishing, and we didn't catch anything, but we had a great time. I mean, God, he just blessed us so much. And I sat in my chair at the end of the day, and I went, thank you, God. This is awesome. This is good. God wants to give us good things in life so we can give him praise, so we give him glory. He continually shows us reasons why we should trust him. Now, when we start talking about financial first, that's a lot of times when people start tuning things out and we have a hard time receiving this message. But again, I want to remind you, do you remember this in Romans 8? Where Paul's writing to these persecuted Christians, this persecuted church, he says this, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Do you believe that God is for you? Do you believe that God's blessing is there and available as we follow him, as we keep him first in life, as we follow his word? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants to bless you? Because the reality is that he does. And he does want to bless us, particularly financially. And here's how we know. God guided, we talked about this last week, Abraham to give the tithe to Melchizedek. And he guided Abel to give his first and his best. He laid down this understanding of what it requires and what it takes. And so he says to us, this is what I want from you. I want your first and your best. I want your tithe. This is what he's saying to us, not because he needs it, but because he wants to bless us. And here's how we know. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 13. Here's this amazing thing that happens as you're heading over that way. Exodus 13. See, we know that the Israelites were enslaved and that God raised up someone, a redeemer. God raised up someone to go and fight for them and set them free. And his name was Moses. And God used Moses in this powerful way. God used Moses to bring about these plagues and to speak with Pharaoh. And eventually, what we find at the end of Exodus chapter 12 is that these people were set free. They were slaves. But here's what's interesting about the slavery that they had. They had to provide their own food. And so what they did have, as far as possessions, wasn't much. But they did have some livestock. They did have a few things around the house. And so here we have this group of slaves who were just set free. Basically, they took everything that they could carry and they left. They did not have a home to go to. They did not have a land to settle. They were just leaving slavery, busting out, running away from captivity. Everything they had was what they could carry. And then you see God do something that at first seems incredibly insensitive. Exodus 13, chapter 1, he says this, look. Consecrate to me, means set aside, give to me, that is mine. Consecrate to me all of the firstborn. Whether it is the first to open the womb among the, whatever is first to open the womb among the people of Israel, of both man and beast, is mine. He says this, you who were just free from slavery, who live in a barter and trade system, whose wealth is not managed in how fat your wallet is, but in how big your flock is, you give me your first and your best. And when you have a child, set them aside for me too, not in a sacrificial fashion, but you need to redeem them by sacrificing a lamb, another lamb for them. And the sacrifice wasn't just to bring them in here and pray over them. It was to slaughter that animal and burn them in what's called a burnt offering. So here's these people. Who what they have is what they can carry. And God says, give me your first and your best. How offensive is that? Well, it's offensive if we look at it from our eyes. But the reality is that God was saying, I want to bless you. I want to remove the curse from the ground for you. I want to guide you into how to worship me and how to live a life of faith, a life that I can bless. I want you to be in the zone. And this is what it takes. I must be first. I must be first in this way. It's about removing the curse and opening up the blessings of God for his beloved. It's about putting them in the center of his will. But it wasn't just the clean that he had to deal with, the clean flocks, the goats and the sheep, it was everything. If you jump on down to verse 12, it says this, you shall set apart for the Lord all the first that opens the womb, all the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Listen to this, this is so important. It's the most important donkey you'll ever read about. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among you, among your sons, you shall redeem. So listen to this. God says, even among the unclean animals, they must be redeemed. They're redeemed with a pure lamb as a sacrifice. Let me ask you this. You and I, born into this world with carnal nature, we're born into this world with sin. Does that make us clean or unclean? It makes us unclean. And God sent Jesus as the perfect sacrifice to be that clean animal to die in our place. See, the gospel of Jesus is woven in through so much of Scripture. It's in everything that we do. God says, listen, check this out. And if you don't redeem it, you're going to lose it anyway. Isn't that part of what happens to us financially? We have all this, and we made more than we ever thought we had, but yet we find ourselves still in a place where we don't feel God's blessing. We feel like, what happened to the paycheck? What happened to the money? How come we don't have enough? Why are we still struggling? I'm making more now than I did then, but I'm still struggling today. What happened? Why? There's some redemption that needs to take place. This isn't about what God needs. It's already his. It's about moving into the zone, about living a life of seeking the favor of God, of keeping him first, of living in the zone of his blessability and his love. Now, I know it's sometimes difficult to get here because we don't barter and trade. Most of us work for a paycheck, not a goat. Amen. Praise the Lord. So how did it get here? Well, walk with me. If we jump over here to Exodus chapter 23, we see what basically had happened is that as the children of Israel move forward, they begin to acquire more things. They began to acquire land. Look what it says in Exodus 23. It says, the best of the first fruits of your ground. They didn't have ground. They followed God's blessing, his order. They blessed him with their first and best. Now they do have ground. It says, now the best of your first fruits shall you bring into the house of the Lord your God. And as they continued to honor God, their nation grew. They acquired more land. They acquired more stuff. They acquired more things. They continued to be fruitful and multiply because we're really good at that. And they continued to grow as a nation. And this is what it says in Leviticus 27. It says, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether the grain from the fields or the fruit of the trees. How many of you guys know that if you plant winter wheat, you can get a harvest in a few months? But if you plant apple seeds, it takes years. Now they can give of the fruit of the trees. Now their orchards are growing. And so they've been in a place now where they have their own land. They have their own stuff and they have their own crops. And God's clarifying more and more, clarifying what he wants from them. He says, it belongs to the Lord. It must be set apart to him as holy. Proverbs chapter 3. Again, this is written by Solomon, who's considered the wisest and wealthiest of all the great kings of Israel. Perhaps one of the wisest and wealthiest people who's ever lived. And this is what he writes. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, he wants you to honor him for you, for good things, so that your barns will be filled, your vats will overflow. That's God's desire in this giving. He talks about honoring with your possessions. This is general language talking about the increase. It's livestock, it's produce, it's silver, it's gold, it's possessions. When we honor God with the first and the ten, we take a step of faith and he blesses us in return and powerful things begin to happen. But part of me teaching this lesson is that sometimes people say, yeah, well, that's just what preachers say, but that's why I have stories that I want to tell like this.
We came home on a Sunday night, or actually a Monday night, and recalled me and she had just gotten home. And somebody been working on the house? No. Why? She goes, well, there's water on the sidewalk. Got there, and she goes, something just doesn't feel right. And I said, well, just wait, I'll be there. I get there, unlock the door, I hear the water running. Carpet's up, 2 foot high, laminate's up. Water's all over the house.
I remember that night standing in the bathroom. It was kind of funny because Elise was in the driest part of the house at the time, which was in the bathtub. And so then I'm standing in the bathroom. She's crying, I'm crying, he's crying. And I said, whatever.
I wasn't crying.
Yes, you were.
Braxton
was crying. He didn't want to come in the house and it was just a mess. But so at that point was when I realized we had to do this. I told Kyle, if we don't do this, we won't make it through this without God. We have to trust him with our money. And so then that, I guess it was that next Sunday or whatever, that next paycheck came to tithe, we did it first off the top. And then it
was not fun.
It wasn't, and it hurt. And we had lots and lots and lots of trials along the way with the money.
They were working on the house and we left our freezer there plugged in. We were staying in a cabin at the time, and I was like, well, we'll just go to the cabin and get groceries, or go to the house and get groceries. And I go there, somebody had unplugged the freezer. And so we lost all our meat. That's when I started crying. That's when it became real. I just gave that money. Not kidding, feed my own family. And 5 minutes later, we were given money.
And when I came to school the next day, the girls in her room had provided how many pounds? Probably 10 pounds of hamburger and salmon from the Great Lakes, fresh salmon for us to eat.
So we, you know, here I was mad. And then 5 minutes, God bless us. The next day, God blessed us. And he continued to. He continued to. January 7th, we moved back into the house. And
it wasn't completed yet. It wasn't just livable.
Yeah, it was just the front side that really wasn't damaged, or what we didn't have remodeled. And I get out of the basketball game and I have a phone call. Several missed phone calls. And she called me and told me that another pipe had frozen, busted. And we'd just got our cabinets in, brand spanking new cabinets. Our floor was done. And I praise the Lord for it, because the way the water came out, it went right through the walkway. The water never touched our new cabinets. Went right through the walkway, back into the living room, and went outside. Didn't soak up. She finally, luckily, she caught it early enough. But the next day, we turned right around and moved right back out. We still struggled. You know, it wasn't like everything was given, you know, and da-da-da-da-da-da. We still had to have faith. We still had to put our trust in Him. You know, there was even some times when we had some doctor bills that, and I didn't tithe. I didn't tithe that on my check. And I took a good chewing from her.
Before I met Kyle, or actually before we started this whole thing, I'd never tithed. Like, I might put a little bit in the offering plate here and there, but it was never a chunk, because I made the mistake of looking at my bills first to see what that is. And I would just advise to anybody, just, you don't do that. Just trust God and take it off the top. It's kind of become a little game, like, okay, how much can I get away with? Like, what can I do that's gonna, like, I wanna push myself. I wanna feel it to the point where I know I have to trust Him again. And, you know, and not that I don't trust Him anyway, it's just different. You feel it when it hurts a little. You know, like, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but it's gonna be okay, because He'll take care of it. He always does.
Amen. Yeah. What a powerful story of God blessing them as they pursue putting Him first, walking in the zone, in the center of His blessing, living a life of blessability. Something they hadn't done before, but something they started, not when life was cushy, not when life was easy, but in the middle of a trial, and God protect them. Check this out. It's part of the promise. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. If you've been in church a while, you've heard this verse when we talk about tithing. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's God's church. That there may be food in my house. It says, try me in this, test me in this, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that would not be room enough to receive it. And see, that's the part that we a lot of times leave out. That's the blessing part. But can I tell you something? God wants to do more than just bless. He wants to protect. He says this in verse 11, says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in your field. And for Kyle and Amber, he says, and I'm going to save your cabinets. So check it out. I mean, the pipe bust. And the last time it froze and the last time it flooded, they lost their home. And they said, God, we're going to trust you through this. And then they lost their meat. God, we're going to trust you through this. And He provided not just more meat, but better meat than they had. And then when the trial came again, as trials always will, that water that it could have flown and it could have done all the damage it did before, it flowed right down the walkway, right over the part of the floor that's not finished, and out the front door. Because God protects us when we honor Him. God is doing this. He's asking this of you, not to put you in a troublesome situation, but so that you can live in the zone of His blessability. God says, I must be first. And the reality is, it takes faith to believe that God will bless the 90 more than the 100. It's tough. Got my own story. We have several people in here that have their own stories of taking that intentional step, that intentional decision making to trust God first, to give Him that whole tithe, and how He's blessed that. It takes faith to get here, but listen to this. It says in Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. Living by faith is where we keep God first. And when we do, we place ourselves in the zone of his blessability. What a powerful truth to live by. It says this in Exodus 13 and verse 14, and this is the other part of it. It's not just about the blessing that you have now. It's a blessing. It's about the blessing that follows you later. Because why did God do this? Again, it's for their blessing, but it's also to bless the generations behind. And so it set up this question. Why, Dad? I mean, imagine if your child comes in and says this. So shall it be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is this?" That you shall say to him, "By the strength of the hand of the Lord, he brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Dad, why do we sacrifice the lamb? Dad, why do we redeem the donkey? And the answer is because we used to be in bondage and in slavery, and he set us free. And when my kids come up and we sit down and we look at what Bridget and I give, and they look at that and say, "Dad, that's a lot of money." I'm not bragging. Your tithe should be a lot of money. Dad, why do we, you know what we could do with that? You know where we could go with that? So I can look at my daughter and I can look at my son and I can say, "You know what? I haven't always been the man that you know now. I was once in bondage and in chains to my own sin. And he has set me free. And he's going to be first from here on and forever in my finances, in my family, in everything that I do." And that is why we give the first and the ten. That is why we live in the zone of his blessability. Because God wants good things for you. He wants good things for me. So here's the question for you today. Is the Lord first in your life today? Is he first? Maybe you're here and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus. You've never said, "God, I want you to forgive my sins and save me. God, I want you to break my chains. I want you to lead me out of my bondage. Today, I want to take that step of faith. God, heal me, save me, make me whole." And maybe today, that's not what God's saying to you. Maybe today, God is speaking to you because you've made that decision, but you've maybe lived in some areas of disobedience or selfishness, and God's just saying, "Hey, I want you to come home." Where are you at? Is God first in your life today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for this message today. God, I thank you so much that your word spells things out for us. God, that you guide us into the zone of your blessing, of your love, and of your favor. Father, I pray that you would continue to lead us. Father, I pray that you would continue to guide us. God, that we could live and be the people, God, who are known for their love. People who live in the zone. God, people who keep you first in every way. God, help us to honor you. Be with us this day, Jesus. So we pray. Amen. If you made a decision for Christ, come talk to me. I want to talk with you about that. If you have questions about this, I want to talk with you about that. Stand as we sing one last song on our way out.
Thank you so much for joining us today for the LifePoint podcast. For more information or to make a donation, visit our website at lifepointlebanon.com or download our mobile app available on all platforms. Stay up to date by following us on social media. You can find links at our website. Welcome home.